The book of the Psalms is Psalm 92. And could I draw your attention this evening to the verse 12? The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. In these words, our attention is drawn to the palm tree. In Bible times, they were so numerous that both the Romans and the Greeks spoke of Palestine as a land of palms. While it is mentioned less frequently in the scripture than the olive or the fig tree, nevertheless, it is mentioned in 15 different books. Down through the ages, it has also lent its name to many places and to many individuals. For example, Jericho was known as the city of palms, and the name Tamar means palm. Again, Phoenicia, which is mentioned twice in the New Testament, takes its name from the palm. Crossing over the Red Sea, the children of Israel came to Elam. And as well as finding 12 wells of water, they found shelter beneath its 70 palms. Again, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the children of Israel celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. Leaving their homes, they went out into the hills. And there they dwelt in booths or tents, weaved out of the branch of the palm. The palm was a tree that was used in their everyday life. And taking up this image and using it to describe those who have been made righteous by the righteousness of Christ, the psalmist said that they would flourish as the palm. The word flourish there literally means to spread or to grow or to break forth. And you see, like the palm, the believer is not to be stagnant, but he is to be stretching. Ever growing in faith, ever growing in holiness. Again, writing unto the Jews that had been scattered abroad, Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And having earlier commanded them to add to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, he was here demanding a continual growth. And you see, the Christian life is one of continual growth. No matter how far we have come, we are never to become content. But we're always to be seeking to increase our knowledge, to grow in faith, to grow in holiness, becoming my greater in our Christian life. You know, when a person is chosen for the Olympic Games, it is usually because they are the very best in their particular field in their country. And even if that person goes to the Olympic Games and they come home with a gold medal, you know, they don't sit back and rest, but they're always training. They're always seeking to break even their own record. And like the Olympic runner, or like the palm tree, we're never to be content. We're never to become self-satisfied. But we're always to be seeking to grow in the faith, to become more like Christ, to become holier, to increase our knowledge, to become stronger in the Christian path. You know, tonight's an annual meeting, and you stop and you consider even the work of God and the progress of the work of God. But you know, as individual Christians, there should also be that stopping and taking stock of our lives and asking ourselves the question, in the year that has gone by, has there been growth? Like the palm tree, have I grown? Is there an increase in my life? And so this evening I want to draw your attention to the palm tree. I want you to notice firstly there the significance of the palm, as well as being viewed by some as sacred. Its image was used extensively on Jewish coinage. In fact, it was also carved into the walls of Solomon's temple. But you notice here the permanence it possesses. Setting forth their character, he said in the verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree is an extremely unusual tree. unlike most other trees whose center is dead, its center is alive. The sap passing through its center rather than passing through its bark, it is less vulnerable to outside attack. While the burning sun may scorch it, and man and beast may combine to injure its bark, it still flourishes, it still grows. Even the wind can destroy the palm. Rather than shattering, it simply bends over, and then it straightens back up again. Unlike other trees, its wood was no good for the fire. It didn't burn. And you see, like the palm tree, the child of God is indestructible. While Satan may bend us, he cannot break us, nor can he burn us. Indeed, writing unto the Roman converts, we find Paul in the 8th chapter asking them there a series of questions. The Lord having saved them and being with them, he asked them in verse 31, who could be against them? And then in verse 33, who could lay any charge against them? In verse 34, who could condemn them? And then he said in the verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He was not saying that these things wouldn't happen to them, because they happened to the Apostle Paul. He was often arrested. He was often beaten. But the point was that he was saying that it would not separate them from the love of Christ. And while that chapter begins with no condemnation, it ends with no separation. You see, for the child of God, glory is more certain than even the grave. Not only does the Lord promise to keep his people, but you know he keeps his promise. Some years ago, Lee Harvey Oswald shot John F. Kennedy in Dallas, in Texas. Sometime later he was arrested and charged with his murder. However, shortly after that, Oswald himself was then assassinated. And being assassinated, the case did not proceed. It ended. There was no more prosecution. And you know, Christ having taken our sin and died in our place, there is no more prosecution. And more than that, there is no more separation. Oh, the devil may batter us, and the devil may bruise us, and the devil may bend us. But like the palm, he can't break us, and he can't burn us. Oh, child of God, there are dark times in our lives. There's times of difficulties. There's times of problems. There's times when the wind is blowing with great fierceness. But in those times, take comfort. Remember that the life that is within you is guarded, and it can't be destroyed. But not only do we notice here the permanence it possesses, but notice the power it possesses. Growing tall, we read in the verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Down through the centuries, the palm has long been associated with victory. Taking its branches, the crowds used to wave them before the returning conqueror. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ entering triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem, they broke down its branches and they threw them down before him. And in the book of the Revelation, the writer there describing those who had overcome great tribulation. He described them as having palms in their hands. The palm speaks of victory. And you see, being made clean, we were also made conquerors. There is no power, there is no habit that we can overcome. Indeed, writing unto the Philippians, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 in the verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The word strengtheneth there simply means to enable. In other words, he was saying, Christ enabling me, there is no person and there is no power that you cannot overcome. Just to emphasize that, Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 15, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord." And you see, tonight in Christ, we're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. There is no power, there is no person, there is no habit that we can overcome. I'm sure one time or another in your life you've taken a little tree and you've planted it in the garden, and when you've planted, maybe you've driven a stake down beside it and you've put a little bit of wire around it in order to stop the little tree being blown about. And you know, if you forget to take off the wire around the tree will simply grow and grow. And eventually the tree will grow around the wire and the wire will disappear. And while the tree looks all right, nevertheless there's a weakness there. And let the storm begin to blow and suddenly the tree will snap at that point. But you know, unlike other trees, the palm tree does not grow around the wire, but rather it snaps the wire. And you see, like the palm, there is no habit, there is no power that we can't overcome. You take a ball and throw it up into the air. And it doesn't really matter how far you throw it up into the air, it'll eventually come back down to the ground. My aeroplane is many, many hundreds and thousands times heavier than a ball. And yet the pilot getting into the plane and pulling back the throttle, now the plane not only rises into the air, but it stays up in the air. It breaks the power of gravity. And my friend, within each of us, there is that power pulling you and I down. But you in Christ, we can break it. In Christ, we can overcome it. Sometimes people say, oh well, I don't know about that. My, there's Christians and they're held by sin and they're held by habits. My friend, the reason they're held by those sins is not because they need to be held by those sins. It's because they choose to be held. There is no sin. There is no power. There is no lust that we can't overcome. Oh, tonight in Christ there is victory. Are you living in that victory? Are you breaking those things that would seek to bind your life, bringing you into bondage? Are you snapping them? But not only the power it possesses, but notice also the purity it possesses. Drawing them back again to nature, he said, in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree grows upwards, and more than that, it grows straight. Its slender stem often stretches 40 and sometimes even 80 feet into the heavens. Even its very branches are straight. And as such, they were made righteous in order to be straight and upright like the palm. You see, as well as being righteous in the Lord, we are to be righteous in our lives. Our thoughts and actions are to be straight and upright. You remember Peter writing unto the Jews who had been scattered abroad. He said in 1 Peter 1 verse 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." You notice there that the standard of holiness was not their neighbors, was not some worldly Christian, but the standard of holiness was the Lord himself. And more than that, it was to stretch into all manner of conversation, or every aspect of their lives. You see, holiness ought to be the everyday business of every Christian. We're to be upright, straight in our dealing, straight in our talking, straight in our way of life. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, on one occasion was speaking about sin. And he said, "I kick it as long as I've got a foot." He said, "I fight it as long as I've got a fist. And I bite it as long as I've got a tooth." And he said, "When I'm old and I'm footless and I'm fistless and I'm toothless," he said, "I gum it until I get to glory." And you know, believer, there needs to be that spirit in our lives. That daily fighting of the old man. A living in holiness. To be upright and to be straight. Oh, this evening, are you growing like the palm? Are you straight in all your transactions? Are you upright in everything that you do? Breaking the power of sin. Knowing victory. Again and again. But not only the significance of the palm, but I want you to notice also there the season of the palm. Growing upward, a single tree produces between 300 and 600 pounds of dates every year. As well as being packed with nutrition and iron, its leaves were used for fencing and roofing. Its fibers were weaved into ropes. Its trunk was used to support beams. In fact, one commentator tells us that the palm tree had over 360 different uses. It was extremely useful. But notice here that it was useful, but it was useful in the dry plains of life. They were not to grow just as the cedar. But he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree grows where no other tree grows. It's found in the most desolate and barren surroundings. It takes no notice of the weather or of the environment. Although there's been no rain for many months and the wind is howling and the sun is scorching, it still looks the picture of health. I'm sure sometime or another, perhaps you've been on holiday in Europe or you've been on holiday in the East and you've been going through the countryside. And now you've looked out and you saw the desert and you saw the barrenness and you thought to yourself, well, nothing could ever grow here. And then you lifted up your eyes and there's the palm tree, growing tall, laden down with my abundance of fruit. You see, it grows even in the most barren surroundings. And you see, as well as being fruitful in the happy times, we're to be fruitful in the hostile times, producing fruit in spite of our surroundings. You go back into the Old Testament and you read of a man there by the name of Enoch. He lived in the most hostile times. The thoughts of men were only continually evil. And yet, we read in Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And despite the barrenness that was around him, his life was fruitful. And you see, as well as producing fruit in the summers of life, we're to be producing fruit in the winters of life. To be useful even when all seems to be against us. You know, sometimes you get Christians, and when the sun is shining, and you know everything is really going well, they're full of energy and they're full of enthusiasm. Now they're at your back and they're encouraging you and they're shouting hallelujah. But then let the sun begin to dull. Let the winter begin to come in. Let a time of barrenness come. And even in the life of every church, there's always times of barrenness. God sends the barrenness at times just to try our mettle. And you know, they quickly melt away. And they're no longer at the prayer meeting. And they're no longer shouting hallelujah. And they're gone. But you see, we're not only to be deciduous Christians, but evergreen Christians. Those that are fruitful, not only when the sun is shining, but those that are fruitful even in the most barren and desolate times, standing for God. Oh, it's easy to walk with God when all is well. But let me ask you, child of God, how do you do in the winter times of life? How do you do when all is barren and all is desolate? When all those around you are fading away, are you like the palm tree, still standing, still green, still fruitful, bringing forth fruit for the Savior? Not only does it grow in the dry plains of life, but you know it also is fruitful in the declining periods of life. Describing their lives, he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm seed normally takes between 4 and 5 months to germinate. Springing up, it does not produce fruit until its 8th year. And then becoming fruitful and producing massive clusters containing up to 1,000 dates. It continues to produce fruit for well over a century. In fact, the older it becomes and the more scarred it becomes, the sweeter its fruit becomes. You see, we must never lose our usefulness. We are to be producing fruit even in the latter days of our lives. Emphasizing that, look what he said in verse 14. He said, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And you know, in the life of grace, there's neither rest nor retirement. We are to be continually producing fruit. When John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was 88 years of age, he was still preaching every day. Some time ago, statisticians done a survey amongst 400 of the world's most famous people. And in that survey, they discovered that 35% of their greatest achievements were accomplished in their 60s, 23% in their 70s, 8% in their 80s. In other words, 66% of their greatest achievements were accomplished after they retired. You know, sometimes people say, you know, preacher, I've done my part. And you know, I've done my part. My friend, when you have done your part, you'll not be here, because God will take you home. You may not be able to do the things that you used to do, and you may not be able to serve the Lord in the capacity that you used to serve the Lord, but nevertheless, you can still serve Him. We're still to be bringing forth fruit. In fact, the older we become, the more fruitful and the sweeter should the fruit be in our lives. Not only were they to be useful in the declining periods, but also in the desolate places of life. The palm tree was a sure sign of water. In fact, beholding the palm trees in Exodus 15, it drew them even there to Elam and to the water. And you see, like the palm tree, we are not only to be standing up for Christ, but standing out for Christ. Drawing men to the water of life. O child of God, this evening, is your life such that it creates a thirst in men's souls for Christ? Is your life such that it makes those around you thirsty for the Savior? Oh, the palm tree was extremely fruitful. Are you bearing fruit for the Savior? 360 different uses was made of the palm tree. There's so many ways of serving the Lord. So many ways of being useful. Are you being useful? For Him. Are you serving the Lord in some capacity? But lastly, I want you to notice here the secret of the palm. It wasn't grafted into another tree. But you notice the roots it sinks. The date palm does not have a trap root, but it has thousands of little rootlets. They're no thicker than your finger, burrowing down deep into the hidden springs beneath the earth. It flourishes. And you see, it's only as we drink of the water that we develop. Without that supply, we become withered and stunted in our growth. The hymn writer said, I'm drinking at the fountainhead. And child of God, it's only as we put our roots down into those secret springs of the Scripture, and we get down deep into the book and into communion with Christ, that we'll be able to grow. And we'll be able to continue to grow when all is barren and others are withering around us. Oh, this evening, have you your roots into Christ? Are you drinking daily of the water of life? Not only the roots it sings, but there's also the region it seeks. The palm tree doesn't really grow on its own. It grows in clusters. You go back into Exodus chapter 15 and you'll find that there was the 70 palm trees at Elam. Growing together, they multiply. They tell us today that they number something over 2,000. They grow together. And you see, as well as feasting on the Savior, there needs to be a fellowshipping with the saints. Paul, realizing that, he writing unto the Hebrews, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And you know, if we're not to wither, we need not only to be in the Word of God, but we need to keep ourselves in the fellowship of the saints of God. You know, I read some time ago about a couple, and they were going through some marital problems, and they decided that they would better seek some help, and they went to a secular marriage counselor. And of course, naturally, the woman going in, she was a little nervous and a little timid, and beholding at the counselor, went over and put his hand on her shoulder, and he said, "Don't be afraid." He says, "I know all there is to know about marriage. I've been married 5 times. You know, there's people today ill. There's people today in prison. Why? Because they've taken the wrong advice and been in the wrong company. And you know, we're to grow as the palm tree. We need to keep the company of God's people. We need to keep our fellowship even amongst those who love the Lord. And then, of course, not only the region it seeks, there was the refuge it supplies. Coming to the palms at Elim, the children of Israel found shelter beneath its branches. And you know, we should be branches to our brethren, refreshing them in the times of weariness and trouble. Indeed, Paul said of Onesiphorus, "For he oft refreshed me." You know, there's some Christians, and when you see them coming, you just would love to dig a big hole in the ground and jump in and cover yourself over, because you know they're going to make you miserable. They're going to depress you. They're going to have some terrible story of woe to tell you. But my friend, that's not what we're to be. We ought to be those that refresh our brethren. Those that provide shelter in the times of storm and the times of difficulty. My, are you a palm tree? Are you a palm tree to your brother in Christ? Are you a palm tree even to the weak believer or to the young believer? Are you one that shades and refreshes them and encourages them along the way? They were to grow even as the palm tree, bracking forth, stretching upwards. O child of God, is there that growth? Do you know more of the Lord tonight than you did last year? Are you stronger in the faith? Is your desire, even this year, to grow more and to learn more of the Savior, to grow in holiness and to grow in your faith? Oh, may we be enabled to flourish even in the most barren places, because this old world is a barren place, but that we might be enabled to flourish even for the Savior. Amen.